Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for this morning to worship you and ask in Jesus' name that you would do a great work in us. Lord, that you would cause us to know you, to fall more deeply in love with you, to speak for you, to hear you. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to be the church you want us to be. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you have in your bulletin a sheet, it's blank. It says sermon notes on it, and oftentimes I will guide you with fill in the blanks. But I really want you to listen today for what the Holy Spirit is saying to you as we continue to listen for what God wants us to hear. All of you are God chasers, right? Wow, that was affirming. All of you are God chasers, right? Yeah. Amen. On the other side are some weekly devotions. I encourage you to take that home with you so that you can follow along throughout the week in regard to today's theme. And if you're listening online, there is a PDF file that has both of these documents. I met a young man when I was serving in a church in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. He came to youth group a couple of times, well, more than that. I'd see him around town even from time to time. He was a sincere kind of kid, pretty happy by most standards, and we had a lot of chats along the way. And by the way, he had cerebral palsy, which impacted the way he walked, along with probably experiencing more pain than most of us experience in a lifetime. Now, he didn't live in town year-round. It was like he was visiting his family during the summer months. Well, a few years ago, we reconnected, and I learned he just lived up north a ways in Fenton, and somehow he saw that I was here, and he got a hold of me. He came to church here a few times and is now living in another state. But he called me a few months ago from the other state and told me that he had become more serious about God, more serious about his faith in God. You know, there are moments in our lives where we do make that shift. Hopefully you've experienced it, and it hopefully won't be the last time you experience it. You see, my young friend had begun reading the Bible regularly, and the Holy Spirit of God was speaking to him frequently. Speaking to him frequently, and he was becoming a God chaser. And as a result, God was and is changing his life, transforming him to be more like Jesus, more holy. He called this past week with some more questions he had as he is trying to live out his Christian faith. I could tell he was beginning to rely more and more on the Holy Spirit as he read the Word of God and took it in. And if you want to note something, when you become a God chaser, when you become serious about chasing God, it's going to transform your life. It's going to change it for the good. My young friend reminded me of when I committed my life to Jesus. Well, more than that, I recommitted myself, just like my young friend, to follow Jesus. Not just a verbal commitment, but a life reflecting Jesus to those around me. I was becoming more of a God chaser. Learning how to live more fully, to love more fully, to forgive more quickly, how to experience God more readily throughout my day, moment by moment, not just Sundays, and not just when I had an emergency. Essentially, I was trying to reflect in my life the kind of love that God had for me. And in doing so, I was beginning to truly set my life on a firm foundation. One given only by God, one that allows others to see God's ongoing work in me, and one that allows us to stand firm with Jesus, to be steady. And if you're taking notes, as one chases after God, you will find that you will be walking on a firm foundation, more so than at any other time in your life. And in our scriptures this morning, we see how the early church faced some issues, like all effective churches. These leaders were God chasers, and they relied on the Holy Spirit to show them the way to work through these issues. And our scripture begins, in those days, the number of disciples were growing. That should be normal for a church. Growth should be normal. And then it says this, our first problem. Joe, can you give me an assist here? Read it with me. The Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. In keeping in line with Jesus' mandate to take care of the widows and the orphans, it seems like some were getting more food than the others, which caused complaints. No surprise. We're not told directly why this was happening, but it seems like the 12 disciples or the apostles were divided in their duty as you read in. Look what the apostles said. Joe, you're going to have to give me an assist, it looks. Read it with me. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. So we see the 12 were concerned. The 12 were concerned that if they continued helping in the distribution of food, they may neglect the attention of the ministry of the Word of God. And later we see them mentioning prayer too. Neglecting the Word of God and prayer. These are so important for a God chaser. Without a foundation of prayer, time with God, and the proclamation of Word, their whole world suffers. Their foundation crumbles. And extrapolating that out today, if they didn't remain as God chasers, we might not even know God here in Heartland. You see, without prayer and the Word, in place of our lives, our spiritual life becomes more likely to falter, making us less likely to be productive Christians if we're going to be Christians at all. I mean, come on. You know what I mean. You've seen it in your life when you've slacked off getting into God's Word, when you've stopped spending regular time with God in prayer, how easy it is to be less spiritually attentive to God or spiritually intentional, how easy it is to put chasing God on the back burner of your life. Instead of God chasers, we become more like God stragglers. With less God chasers in the church becomes less vital in its purpose of ministering to people around it. The church loses its focus and strays from the purpose of making disciples for Jesus Christ, of sharing the journey to know, love, and serve God. So in this instance, they chose others to do the distribution of food. So in choosing the new distributors, the 12 or the apostles said, give me a help there, Joe. Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be what? Full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. You see, these are interesting requirements, don't you think? Full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. Do these seem like foundational requirements to you? Foundational to the distribution of food? Spirit and wisdom. From the Spirit comes wisdom. The wisdom to maybe solve issues as they occur or before they even arise. To help them interact with others on a spiritual level. To share Jesus. Help someone to know how to give their life to Jesus. To minister to their needs that the people will have other than just physical hunger. Do you think being full of the Holy Spirit would be foundational to being in any type of ministry? That was a question. Do you think being full of the Holy Spirit would be foundational to being in any ministry of the church? Yes, absolutely. At the beginning of verse 5, it says, finding men with spirit and wisdom pleased everyone. And 7 men were chosen, 7 God chasers. Now scripture goes on to state, let's go to, oh, you got it up there. They chose Stephen, a man full of what? And of the Holy Spirit. A God chaser, we see, must grow in faith. Must grow in faith. Stephen was a man full of faith. Remember, faith is believing in what cannot be seen, according to Hebrews. Trusting that God is there, that the Spirit resides in you and will lead and guide you. Faith is believing that God will do what God has promised to do, to never leave you or forsake you, to love you when you're unlovable, to help you grow in faith, to lead you into a life of holiness, to guide you into a life of integrity, worship, and the jackpot of all, eternity. Eternity with God. You see, faith is essential, and great faith is what Stephen had. The kind of faith that trusted God in all aspects of his life. By the way, how's your level of faith these days? How are you helping it to grow? Or how are you helping it to wane? A God chaser or a God straggler? Now, as a result of these faith-filled Holy Spirit containers full of wisdom taking over the distribution of the food and the 12 devoting themselves to the Word of God and to prayer, it states in Acts 6:7, read it with me. So the Word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Remember, the Holy Spirit is God. To be full of the Spirit is allowing God to work in you and through you to the world at large around you. And so powerful was the movement of the Spirit in these God chasers, these leaders and workers of the church, that even a large number of what? Priests became obedient to the faith. The preaching of Jesus moved them from remaining in God's old covenant of following the law to the new covenant in following Jesus with the Holy Spirit residing in you to guide and direct you. This was a huge shift. This might look like today a large number of Muslim clerics becoming Christians. That's how big that shift was. I wonder, what would it look like for you to be full of the Holy Spirit? What would change? What would shift in your life? More wisdom? Sure. More love? I hope so. More ministry to others? More love to God? More sharing of God? Powerful sharing of God in your own life? What God is telling you and leading you to do, and how you share that with other people? We'd make the news. I'm sure about it. Channel 4, Channel 7, Detroit News. All of the blogs, Facebook posts would explode. What's happening in Heartland? Right? Because you're full of the Spirit. Now it goes on to state about this man of faith and wisdom, full of the Spirit. It says, Stephen, read it with me, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Full of what? Grace and power. Why? Because Stephen availed himself to the Holy Spirit. Because that's what God chasers do. They avail themselves to God's Holy Spirit. Now, if we look back, great signs and great wonders may be referring to healings. They may be referring to the powerful sharing of God's Word, people coming to Christ as their Savior, people caught in lives of disobedience, coming to God and being set free. Man, those are those signs, those wonders. If you recall, When Jesus was on earth in ministry, he too was performing many miracles, many signs and wonders. And the purpose of those miracles were twofold. First, it attracted attention so that people would come to Jesus. And then secondly, it allowed Jesus to reveal to them that he was God in the flesh so that they could be set free from sin and death. I mean, it just blows my mind that these men, that Jesus did these signs and wonders for the purpose of giving Christ to people, helping them to know love, Jesus' love. And these great signs and wonders, they attracted people. They were, in a way, advertising for what God was going to do or was doing for through Jesus and then through the birth of the church. We, the church, are to be a place where people can find God, help them find a firm foundation in Jesus so that they can live life in Him and find freedom from things in this world, the things in this world that bind us. Ready to blow your mind? You are God's advertising. Man, sometimes the front page looks powerful. And sometimes I'd rather be on page A42. But we are God's advertising, and it's a great advertising campaign that God is leading in and through us, especially when we're full of the faith, full of the Spirit, and chasing after God. That's when the advertising is spectacular. Stephen was attracting attention not because he was great at waiting on tables or serving widows. Read it with me. Let's go to the next screen. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, who began to argue with Stephen. Go to the next screen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. If there's one idea you should walk away with today, it's this. As you live out your life, not just internally but externally, what you do and what you say, you may find yourself with those who are in opposition to you. Who has found opposition in their life? Someone who says, I don't know what you're up to. That sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me. The Bible, written 2,000 years ago, has no standing in my life. Or you might find somebody who might say, give it up. It's not worth it. What are you doing? Really? We sometimes think when someone comes to know Jesus as Christ and as Savior of their life, as Lord and Savior of their life, life will be great. On the sunny beach at Waikiki, right? I'm a Christian. Life is great. But the truth sometimes is it becomes more contentious, especially as we invite the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. Boy, that's when things start to really get contentious. It's one thing to believe. It's one thing to live for Christ, to invite the Holy Spirit to help transform your life so that you will be more holy. We will have to stand firm against those things that we once did that will pull at us to do them again, things that God doesn't want us to do. Friends wanting to party, not anymore. Curbing your tongue when it comes to your choice of language, or curbing your tongue when it comes to how you speak about others. What you watch, what you wear. No white lies, no black lies either, whatever those might be. You see, tension will rise between parent and child, or child and parent, between spouses, between friends, and even between neighbors when God is moving in a person's life. You've got to be aware of this. But the most interesting is the tension that rises up between Christians. You see, it's easy to be a Christian in name, even going to church, even putting money in the place, bless you, all of which are a part of what it means to be a Christian. But it becomes harder when your lifestyle changes and when your Christian friends ask, why have you stopped swearing, drinking, or other things that you used to do? Why are you talking about the Bible and Jesus so much? You have to note that you will face opposition chasing God. You will face opposition chasing God, but you must continue to chase God come what may. It's a question of whether you will stand firm or not. I've shared this before because it's a part of my story. I grew up in a home where church was a part of the rhythm and routine of life. Yet I grew up in a time of great drinking and promiscuity. The F-bomb and other curse words were normal to hear in conversation, even taking God's name. Normal conversation. When the Spirit really got a hold of me, I stopped drinking, I stopped carousing, I even threw out a lot of suggestive music that I was listening to. Why? Because I was replacing them with time in God's Word. In learning to treat all people with respect. Instead of filling my heart with music that worshiped God, I was filling my heart with music that told me to do things that the world said, go and do. That's what life's about. In country, it's what? Country music? It's about trucks. It's about drinking. It's about love. It's about divorce. And it's about drinking. Right? If I'm listening to that all the time, what is my tendency going to be? You see, I was beginning to apply the teachings of Jesus to my life and found that the music I was listening to most of the time was not helping me draw closer to God, but it drawing closer to the world. In fact, when you think about it, some music simply draws you into sin, into believing that God's way is not the best and the world's way is cool. Many wanting to remain cool will listen to the music rather than begin to become holy. But by making these changes in life, I was finding myself more on the solid foundation, more on solid foundation with God and in life with others. God chasing was making me more loving. God chasing was making me more compassionate, and I was making room for more of the Holy Spirit than ever before. You see, with Stephen, the opposition was intense, but the wisdom and the Holy Spirit is pure and perfect. His life was in line with God, and it created such a stir that the religious leaders found some people to lie about Stephen, saying that he was saying blasphemous words about Moses and God. The bottom line is the Holy Spirit was so ferocious, it cost Stephen his life. Not his livelihood or where he was living in Jerusalem. It cost him his life literally. And although the opposition was cruel, as they were stoning him to death, he prayed this prayer. Read it with me. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. It begs the question, do you pray for those who persecute you? Do you pray for those who persecute you in the midst of the persecution? Not a day later when you've had time to think about it. Not a week later after you've talked to a counselor or a friend and they've suggested, well, just forgive them. Do you forgive as you're being persecuted, as you're being talked about, as you're being looked at, as you're being downgraded because you're a God chaser? You see, as a God chaser, a man growing in great faith, filled with the Holy Spirit, the only way they could contend with him was to kill him. And there are other ways to kill people today. Social media. It can be a disaster to someone's life. Kids have even decided to end life because of what was said on social media. Persecution will come. God chasers will experience persecution. You can guarantee it. And if life is going too easy, then maybe you're not sharing Jesus as much as you thought you were. Stephen was willing to die for the truth, and as a result, he became the first Christian martyr. A God chaser must stand firm in their resolve, come life or death, to stand for the truth of God. My young friend is on a journey to become more holy, filled with the Spirit and growing in faith, and I'm grateful to join him on his journey, to share in his journey to know God more deeply, to love and serve God by sharing Jesus with each other. And he wants to share Jesus with his friends and his family and his neighbors. And as he works out his faith, as you and I work out our faith with the Holy Spirit, we will face obstacles. The testing of our faith, even trials, will cause us to persevere, to learn to persevere. But out of perseverance comes character and growth in our faith. When it happens, will you be willing to stand firm with God, whatever your lot? Will you continue to chase after more of the Holy Spirit when the sorrows of life seem to overwhelm? You have to decide, yes, I will. Yes, God, I will remain steadfast. Can you say, I will remain steadfast? Yes, God, I'll keep seeking you. Yes, God, I'll keep seeking you. Yes, God, I will always be a God chaser. Yes, God, I will always be a God chaser. Let us pray. God, you have given us so much in this life, and we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to chase you, Lord, that you would cause us to experience more of you. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. God, that you will shape us to become more like Jesus, more holy, more pure, more caring, more loving. Lord, that you will cause us to begin to share what you are doing in our lives with those around us, and that you will give us all that we need, the words to say, just like you gave Stephen. Lord, that you will help us to grow in faith and in compassion for those who are so far away from you. Lord, we thank you and praise you and ask that you would bless us, that we might be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.